My name's Dan Moose. My wife Cheryl sitting over here. We live in Blaine. I work with the North Central District of the Evangelical Free Church, which we're a part of. We're an Evangelical Free Church, and I help oversee church planting and starting new churches. And we're in one of those great places right now. Within the next year, if God, next year to 18 months, we will probably see six, probably closer to eight churches started in the district. And that's just something we go, wow, you know, that's a God thing. So we're excited about that. But it's great to come and share together with you all and to worship together. But let's bow for a word of prayer before we start. Father God, I just, we come and we just humble ourselves before you. Lord, we thank you for being the God of creation who loves, who chose to love us. The God of creation who sent your Son to show how much you loved us. The God of creation who sent your Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, to draw us to yourself and to live in us and move in us. The same Holy Spirit who inspired the Word we're going to be looking at. And Father God, we would ask today that your Spirit might just take these words, take your truths, and just drive them into our hearts. Father, we don't want this to just be another Sunday morning experience that we check off our list. We want this to be a time where we draw near to you, where our lives are transformed, where we're brought closer to you. So, Lord, that we can live our lives this week in such a way that those around us will see Christ. And that we'll have opportunities to share that hope that's within us. Lead us, Lord. We want to pray for the children's ministries. We ask, Lord, you would guide and direct in there. Give the children attentiveness. And, Lord, we just pray for you to do a wonderful work. And, Father, for what you do, we'll be sure to praise you. Amen. Aren't you glad you aren't out camping right now? You can hear it. So when you give answers today, you're going to have to do what? Yes, a little louder. We're going to be in Psalms 27 today, but before we start Psalms 27, I have three questions that I'd like you to help you answer. Because in Psalms 27, David is dealing with his fears. And we all have them, right? Yep. Okay, thanks, Coley. You got us started. One of the fears that I have two fears I can share, and the one I have to share real quick. I was raised on a farm, and at about age four, I had a rat run across my foot, barefoot. And they said my eyes got this big, and to this day, if you'd see a rat come down this aisle, I would jump. And you say, Moose, it's just a rat. In fact, our administrative gal over here for my birthday a couple years ago gave me a bag. And I opened my bag up. Guess what was in it? A stuffed rat. Guess what I did? Immediately, just jolted me. But also, as you see with the gray hair, my wife and I are getting to a place in life where you're starting to look ahead. Another fear that I've been struggling with is a fear of, will we have enough money to retire? What's that going to be like? What's the stock market going to do? What's this going to do? What's this going to do? So now, how about couple of you just say quickly, what is the fear that you struggle with? A fear you struggle with. Can you share one with us? The unknown. What else? Snakes. I got it. Anything else? What other people think of me. Whoa, yes. Failure. What about messing up my children? Yep. Understand that one. Anybody else? Loss. Okay, second question. What does fear do to you? How does it affect you? What happens when you see that? Like I said with the rat, the first thing I did, I still to this day jump. How does fear affect you? How does your fears affect you? Paralyze? anxiety, anger, what drives me to control, to do, to take control,
passivity.
Say that one again. I like that one. In other words, it gets you into your head and it just control everything else. You just go like this, right? Whoop. Yep. Can't think clearly. Okay, now here's the hard question. What is the basis for our fears? What drives our fears? What influences our fears? What makes them happen?
Lack of faith.
Ego. Did you say ego? Someone did. That's good. What else?
Insecurity.
Survival. What?
Misunderstanding who God is.
Pride.
Drama.
Trauma. Trauma or drama? Maybe both. Good. What else? Forgetting what?
Forgetting to trust God.
Mental health?
Past experiences and how they worked out, yeah.
Do you know a lot of those? Who are those? A lot of those issues focused on? Us, right? I wonder, and I'm not, this is just a wonder, again, I wonder how often we are so tied up and put ourselves in the place of God that we can't let God be God to work in the situations. Let's look at David. Let's take the Psalms 27. Because when you start to see in Psalms 27, we're going to see David was a man who had strong faith, but he still struggled with fears. And he struggled with them all the time. And so here he starts to bring this out. So Psalms 27, I'm going to be reading from the NIV. That's my native one, and I think we'll have it on the screen also. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemy and my foes who will stumble. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in his shelter and his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foe, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. As we're looking at David, we see him opening up this psalm, and it sounds like a real conundrum, doesn't it? Because we see him talking faith, we see him talking confidence, and then we see him talking fear. And I think that's what we understand, because he talks about who God is, and he tries to deal with life, and he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The idea that God is a light, and really, if we have light shining on our fears, and we have bright light so we can see things, a lot of times we get a different perspective, don't we? Because when we turn inward and when we struggle, a lot of times we're afraid of things. For me, rats, back to rats. I was raised on a farm, as I said. So I had to go feed the pigs every morning. Well, you know, in a pig building, rats are there. And you'd open up the door and you hear them scurrying. Oh, man. Just every time. But I had to do it. No one else was going to do it. But you know what? As soon as the lights went on, what happened to the rats? They're gone. But that's the same way in our life a lot of times. David said, God's my light. And he shines light on stuff. Do we see his light? Secondly, he says, God's my salvation. God's the one who saved me. God's the one who's taken me and brought me to where I'm at. Whom should I be afraid of? So you see the struggle right there? And then you go to the next part of that verse, and he brings out the idea that the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Another version says that the Lord is the fortress where I am secure. And he says, why should I be afraid? And see, you start to see the struggle that we have. So then, why am I afraid? What should I fear? In this passage, we saw David deal with fear in four different verses. Verse 3, he talks about his being afraid of the armies or the war that may break out. Verse 9, he talks about God might forsake him. Verse 10, he talks about his parents forsaking him. Verse 11, he talks about foes and fears, false witnesses rising up against him. So how can he confidently say what he said there in verse 13? I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. See, he's not talking about eternity there, is he? In the land of the living, that's where we're at, right? He's going to see the goodness of God. He's going to see the faithfulness of God right here. He's confident of that. So how do you get that confidence? How do we get confidence? Because we're all struggling with different fears at different times during the day, right? And weeks. I think if we look at this passage, David shares with us three different things that he helps us to see. And I call them disciplines of grace that God has given us to help develop a confident faith so that we can say with David, I remain confident of this. What do you need to do? Some people, you brought it out very good. You know, a lot of our fears are based because we don't know how to trust in God. I was sharing my fear the other day with a young lady that I've been working with for 10, 12 years, who really struggles with self issues and all those. And I was sharing about the idea of, you know, well, at times I struggle with, will we have enough money? Will God take care of us? What about the future? And all of a sudden she says, Moose, you just got to trust God. And I says, what did you say? She says, Moose, you just got to trust God. I says, you're telling me this? Which was beautiful because she saw it. But how do we have the ability to trust God? Let's look at this passage because I think David makes it very clear how he does it. The first thing I see is he's intentionally dwelling with God. And you see this in verse, specifically in verse 3. I got to get that. No, verse 4. And you start to see where he starts to talk about how he is really depending on God. He says, one thing I've asked from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Intentionally dwelling with the Lord. For David uses the idea of the temple, the house of the Lord, and he's talking about being in his presence. So what it really means is, first of all, we need to seek to dwell and live with God in his presence. Where is he at? You don't have to come here to be with him, right? He's everywhere. But do we take time to be alone with God? Do we dwell and see him? Do we have the time to change our focus so we can see who God is and what God is doing? He goes one step further there and he says, not only to see God, but to gaze on the beauty, his beauty. To delight in the perfections and who God is. What are some of the beauties of God that we need to focus on, that we need to gaze on, that will help us refocus? What are some of the beauties of God? What are some of the attributes? What are some of the things of God that we need to be seeing? His grace, His kindness, His mercy, His all-knowing, because we need to realize that He knows the beginning from the end. What else? Justice. His power. Power to do whatever He says, right? Faithfulness. There's not a promise. He says in the Word, there's not a promise that He will not keep. Love for all. How about also not only all-knowing, but then to see His beauty of who He is, His holiness. He's totally other. He's not limited by anything that we're limited by, right? As you start looking on God and you start to see this, you go, wow. Wow, what? Wow, this is my Father. See, when we start to gaze on His beauty and we start to see who He is, wow. It's fun to see you young parents with your little babies because you always have something new. Wow, right? Wow. Wow. We're back, Tom and I are back there playing with his son, the Calvin, there a little bit before service, just to see the wows. But what would it take for us to focus on God so we could see the wows? You see what I'm getting at? What do we need to do to enjoy God so that we can see? Because once we see that our God does know the beginning from the end, our God is all powerful, and He's my Father, He's your Father, right? He can bring transformation. He can intervene. I don't know about you, though. A lot of times I don't want to take the time to sit and look. I'm not a contemplative guy. I'm one of these guys that, let's get it done. Get her done. Let's go. I'm impulsive. And I'm learning, I'm starting to learn at my stage in life, I have to start and focus on the beauty of God. That's a discipline that God's given us. That's that dwelling with God. Dwelling with God is not just walking where He's at. That's part of it. But the other part is seeing. And we do that through the Word. We do that by praise. Why? Because once we're praising Him for what He's doing, right? We do that through prayer. Because when we see answer to prayer, how does that help you? So the first thing we need to do, if we're really going to have a confident faith, is that we need to be intentionally dwelling with God. We need to make that something we're doing day by day, moment by moment. And folks, I don't know about you, but if I in the morning is not enough for me. I'm hearing a lot of guys that I'm talking with, some of the guys I'm working with, they said, Dan, somehow I have to be able to have two or three breaks during the day where I can refocus on God, to dwell with Him. You know that intentionality? How do we work that out, folks? God wants us to do it. God wants to give us that confident faith. God wants us to know Him, not know about Him. There's a difference, isn't there? God wants us to know. Why do we read the Scriptures? Why do we come to worship? Do we come to worship so we can know God or know about God? I hope it's so we can know. So the first discipline of grace that will help us have a confidence is know about Him. The second one, I mean know Him, or dwell with Him, excuse me. The second one is, here's the results of that dwelling with God. Let's look at verses 5, 6. And let's see what God has promised will happen when He's dwelling with God. David says this, for in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe. Did you see that? He will keep me safe. It also says In the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. So what it's saying is that God's going to protect me. Because I know him, God is going to protect me, and because I'm dwelling with him. Then he goes on one step further and he says, and he will set me high upon a rock. What's the best thing when you're afraid? To be able to see everything. What's the best thing when I see a rat? I want to be up here if he's down there. What's the best thing to see when I don't know what the future holds? When I can start to get an eternal perspective. But because I'm dwelling with him, God's going to do that. God's going to give us those things. And it also says, verse 6, then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. So we start to see that as we're dwelling with God, as we're abiding in his presence, as we're really growing closer to him, he's going to do what? He's going to lift us up. He's going to hide us. He's going to protect us. Who did that? Who's going to do that? God. Not us. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I think I have to pull myself up and set myself up. No, it's God that's going to do that. And so, secondly then, dwelling in his presence is one. The second discipline is continually remembering of what God has done. A continually remembering what God has done. Let's go back to the children of Israel. You remember the story of the children of Israel? The children of Israel, they were in Egypt, and as they were in Egypt, they were crying out to God, God save us, God save us. And then when Moses comes to lead them out, what do? They reject it because God makes it harder before he makes it better for them, right? Because all of a sudden they have to continue doing their work, but they don't get the straw and stuff given to them. They have to go find it. And so first of them, they want to reject it. But then God takes them through the 10 plagues, and the last 5 of the plagues, which get tough, who do they happen to? They don't happen to the Israelites. They happen only to the Egyptians. And then God takes them out in a miraculous way so that they have everything given to them they need. In fact, it says that the people of Egypt paid them to go out. They gave them their gold and their silver. Get out of here! Had God worked? Yes. What happens 3 days later when they come to the Red Sea? You remember? What? They complain. They're grumbling. They're ready to go back. Because what? They forgot what God had done 3 days earlier. So they get out and God then takes them across the Red Sea. And as he takes them across the Red Sea and dry ground, and the Egyptians all get drowned, what happens 3 days later? They're out of water. What do they do again? You complain, grumble. And we say, but we're not like that, right? We're not like that. Do you see what happened to them? They forgot to remember what God was doing and what God had done. And see, and David starts to bring this up. Look at verse 9. And David said, do not hide your face from me. He's talking to God. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. How often do we look back and say, yes, God did that. Yes, God did that. Yes, God did that. Yes, God helped me pass that test. Yes, God helped me do this. Yes, God helped. Do we take that time? I find myself, I take that for granted. And then I don't give God the credit. And since I don't give God the credit, what happens? I don't see what he's doing. And since I'm not seeing what he's doing, then how can my faith in him be strengthened? It becomes more, well, Moose, you're pretty good. You probably say something like that about yourself, not about me. Please don't say it about me. And so the fact is that we need to realize that most of the time our fears cause us to turn inward, and the shadows of what if just start to paralyze us. Is that right? And we get to look at inward, and then we're having the shadows, and we can't see that God's done anything. And then we start to feel alone, and then we start to get angry, then we start to get frustrated. Then we, you know, all the things we talked about, because we are not seeing what God has done. I don't know what the easiest way is for us to keep a list of what God has done, but we need to be looking back. Folks, what did He save you from? That's not rhetorical. I'll let that one go. That's, what has God saved you from? God sent, loved you so much that He took and sent His Son to come to you and to die so that His Holy Spirit could draw you, right? That's the gospel. And that's what He did for us. And do we look back and do we thank Him for that enough? Do we really give Him credit for that enough? Then do we start looking at what He's doing in our life daily? And it may be as small as even though the kids had the bedroom all tore apart, they were still happy and they weren't cranked up today, right, Nate? And you could say, oh, they're not as bad as it looked like it could have been. But that's, you know, they were happy doing that. Oh, yeah, it was a bummer for you because you had to pick up the room. Or you might have to do it when you get home. But do we see what God is doing? Are we looking? I know for myself, it's times I don't. And so if we're going to really have a confident faith, we need to see how God is working. And we need to realize that His past performance will predict His future behavior. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will keep every promise. And even David says that in verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. That's confidence again. So we need to intentionally be dwelling with God. Or in the New Testament would be John 15, which would be abiding with Jesus. We also need to continually remember what God has done. And I think the last one is found in verse 14. And it's expectantly waiting on God. Have an expectant waiting on God. Now, how many of you like to go to the dentist? Oh, there's one here. You love it. Wow. You're unique. But most of us don't. How many want to have a root canal? I don't see any hands on that one. And you know, that is waiting. You know, when you go to the dentist or you go to have root canal, you go sit down, you sign in, and you sit and wait, and you start to kind of, oh no, oh no. And I think many times in this, as Christians, we're waiting to see God, and we're sitting there saying what? Oh no, oh no. But we need to have an expectant waiting. Let's think back to little kids around the Christmas tree. They can't open the gift yet. You know, you want them about 4 or 5. They can't open the gift yet, but they know there's a gift there for them, right? What's happening? There's excitement. There's joy. They know there's something for them. Another good illustration would be an expectant mother. In that last month, you know, you're getting there. Oh, it's going to be tough. But once you have the baby, you go, wow. Right? Took it to have. You have to have the baby first, but then you have that joy. You're expecting something. How are we waiting on God? You see what it says there in 14? It says, wait on the Lord, be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. How do you usually wait on the Lord? Is your waiting expecting God to do something? Or is your waiting saying, oh no, God's slow again. It's going to be another one of these. We're just, you know, we got to. You see what I'm getting at? David said if we're going to have a confident faith, David's talking about waiting on the Lord expectantly, waiting on the Lord in such a way that we're seeing God. We're going to see what God's doing, and we're expecting Him to do something because He's done it in the past. He's going to do it in the future. He's promised us, folks, I don't think we take the promises of Scripture to heart like we need to. He says he's going to be transforming you from one level of glory to another continually. Wow. He says, you take many of the promises. He says you'll take everything that comes into your life, good or bad, and he'll work it out for good so that you might bring glory to him, so that you might be made more Christ-like. And that's what we say we want to be. That's a promise, right? He says he'll take care of us. And we as people need to figure out, how do we expectantly wait for him? How do we be strong and take heart? How do we have that self-talk? You know what self-talk is? Christian self-talk is when I get this thought that is not of God, I come back with I start talking to myself, literally. Talk Scripture back to yourself. Talk truth back to yourself. For example, if you're struggling and you're fearing that God won't forgive you, and we all have some of those things from our past, right, where our sin is there, and we say, oh, I'm not sure God's forgiven me. And you get in your mind, God can't forgive me, I'm afraid of that. What's the truth? He already has. When did he forgive you? At the cross. How many sins did he die for? All of them, past, future, and present. Wow. And I got to say, God, thank you, because you have forgiven me. And that's self-talk. But see, then I'm going to be able to expect God, if you've done it there, now I'm going to expect you to really give me that victory day by day by day. And we need to step out in that. Also, as we're doing that self-talk, we need to realize that we don't know what the future's going to hold, but we do know who holds our future. When I was starting to struggle, I continue every now and then to struggle with will we have enough to retire and stuff like that. I was looking at the Scriptures, and you remember in the life of David, his last sin was that he counted the troops. God told him that he said he's going to do it, and his leader said not, and he said, no, we're going to count the troops. And God brought judgment on him for it. And as I was looking at that, and I read that morning when I was struggling with it, all of a sudden, God said to me, he said, Moose, wasn't quite this clear, but it's pretty clear. He said, Moose, have I taken care of you in the past? Have I met all your needs? Have I taken care of your kids? Have I taken care of you? And all of a sudden, I had to realize my fear was based in the idol that I have, that I got to take care of myself. And then I need to start to deal with that. I need to ask God to forgive me. I need to ask God to help me to remember, yes, God, you've taken care. And I'll tell you what, it lifted me, it lifted my spirits just by doing that. And yeah, I'm still going to have those thoughts, because you hear it on television and news, radio all the time. You hear about the stock market. Stock market's down, the stock market's up. Remember, it's not the stock market's taking care of our future. Who is? God, the Creator. As we close today, three questions. Are you a follower of Jesus? Do you personally know the forgiveness and the joy of following Jesus? Some of you may be here that don't, and we're glad you're here. And you're saying, I'm just checking this Jesus thing out. Well, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, what you need to understand is that God created you for himself. And God sent Jesus Christ to come and live on this earth and to die because we as people went our own way and decided to do our own thing in independence. But God wants to forgive us. And if you believe in God and say, God, I need you to forgive me for my going my own way, and I want to turn and follow you, you will start a new life that day. And there's a lot of people here who love to talk to you about that. And I've been a believer since I was 11 years old, so that's what, 54 years. And it's worth it. Have I been at the bottom sometimes as a believer? Yes. But I'll tell you what, we can look back. And Cheryl and I both can say, we've seen God's hand take us through. And I can say that I want to follow Jesus and I want to enjoy Jesus. And I pray that you can too. The second question is, what fear or fears are you struggling with today? The question behind that is, what's driving that fear? Is it an idol? Is it my thinking I have to be in control? Is it my thinking I have, you know, some of us may have the hero complex. If I don't do it, I have to do it so I look good. Some of us may be struggling with the idea that if I don't do it, no one can do it. Some of us may have that, you know, there's many different things. It may be that you need to stop and look. But again, if we're playing God, that is an idol that will come between us where God, that fear is just going to continue a bondage and God cannot release us from it. Because the idol, see, what we fear is this, the payment we're making to the idol instead of giving it to God. And so I'd ask you to identify the idol and identify the fear and then see if there is an idol. And it may not be, but it may be. And then finally, what one of these, or maybe all of these, disciplines of grace do you need to practice to live more confidently in God? Are you intentionally dwelling with God? Are you continually remembering what He's done? Are you expectantly waiting on God? Scriptures teach us that God wants to have what? An abundant life. The Scriptures teach us that God will do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, right? Ephesians 2. Do you believe Him? I'm going to take Him at His word. How about you? So that we can live confidently and I can say, I know I'll see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for David. And one thing about Your word is so beautiful, Lord. You show us the struggles. It's not just a fairy tale book. It's not just a pretty book. It's really dealing with the struggles. And You show us how David here was working through the struggles. And Father, I would ask that You would help us to work through those struggles also. I'd pray that You'd help us to be honest. I pray that You would help us to really take time today to drive a stake in and say, yes, I'm dealing with this. And this is how I'll do it. This is the discipline of grace that I'll practice so that I can be more confident and live that faith out day by day by day. Lead us, Lord. And for what You do, we'll be sure to praise You. Amen.